Well, I would appreciate your prayers this morning that the Lord would meet with us. I think about the significance of this day that we call Easter Sunday, and it's greatly significant to you and me. Without this day, things would be very different in our world today. I think about the scriptures in Matthew, the 28th chapter, starting at the first verse. We want to read just a little here of that morning where it says, in the end, Matthew 28:1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. You know, this was a great time when they went to see Jesus in the tomb and the angel told them he's risen. Just like he said, he's risen. You know, this morning I want us to think a little bit about this whole picture. What significance does it mean that Christ was risen from the dead? And what had happened in the days previous to this? I think about the onslaught, the greatest, the most that Satan could give, the power of darkness at its worst, at its most powerful, the power of darkness with all that it had been put against Jesus. And if you read in the chapter before, you see where it says that they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And then they began, of course, to mock him as if, oh, you're some great one. And it says they platted a crown of thorns on his head. And we know that they took a reed and they hit on that those thorns. And those thorns went down into his head. And they put and they bowed the knee while they were doing that and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him. And they took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. You know, Jesus had told them before this, he said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. You know, this was the worst that the enemy could do. And he was putting everything out there that he had against the one that was here so you and I could have eternal life. You know, this morning the Lord came to purchase for you and me life, both in this life and eternal life. The Lord came to purchase that. And following up to his death, we see the greatest power of darkness ever unleashed right there. And everything Satan had, he put on display right there. And you know what he was doing? Because Jesus was paying a price for you and me. It should be you and me paying a price for our sins. It should be, naturally speaking, that we should pay for our own. But somehow there was one willing, the Son of God, willing to come from heaven, and willing to bear the worst that Satan could put forth, willing to bear the shame of being crucified between two thieves. That's what he bore. He bore what the worst of us should have borne. He bore what murderers bear. He bore what thieves bear. He bore what people that make seditions in the government bear. He bore all the sins of the world. And they nailed him to a cross. And they spit on him. And they did all these things we read about. And they mocked him as if, "Hail, King of the Jews. You are really something, aren't you?" But you know what happened? They took his life, didn't they? But on the third day, as the angel said, just like he said, he's risen and he's going before you into Galilee. Or that's where he is, I think he said. And you know, we find this little story, and when we understand the significance of what God did for you and me because of his love to us, folks, it changes the way we think about the Lord. Many people see God and see the Lord as somehow some great dignitary that is surely going to put his finger on me. But I will tell you what he's like. He would die for you. In fact, he did. The Son of God did die for you. And so this morning, I want to just look at a little bit of this story, and probably not a long message this morning, but you know, the Lord did something very significant. It changed the world. Everywhere in the world we see wars, we see turmoil, we see problems. But where you find Christ truly being lived, you find peace. You find happiness. You find people that has lives in order. You find children that are being taken care of. And so we want to look at Luke 8 and 26 to 36. And I want to read to you a very sad story here. This is not Jesus' story, but it's a story that people sometimes find themselves in. Luke 8 and 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. But when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he, Jesus, had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You know, this morning, I wonder what this man's story was like. I wonder what kind of league he made with Satan. I wonder where he went with the devil in his life to get in this kind of condition. I wonder what was in his mind as he wasn't even wearing his clothes and in the worst indignities of life, crying out in the tombs and People would try to corral him up, and they couldn't hold him. He was beyond that. I wonder what was in his mind. What kind of hope did he have? He didn't have any, did he? What did he have to look forward to in life? And how did he have any way out? Did he have any way to pay the debt that he had incurred against God to take the route that landed him up in that way? I wonder what his life held. I wonder how he got there. It would be something to hear the story, wouldn't it? Because he was a little boy one time, just like many of us were. And somehow his path began to lead him, and he began to fall in league with Satan and take his ways. And you know, people do that, don't they? And what hope did he have? And what was his home like to start with? I don't know the man's story, but I know what the end of his story was like. I know that he ended up, before Jesus, he met Jesus, he ended up living among the tombs, somehow finding the most comfort he could find in the most lowliest, wickedest, gross situations. And that's where he lived. But do you know, this morning, he met one that had power over sin. He had power over the grave. He had power over death. He had power to give eternal life. And do you know, this man met Jesus, and somehow Satan was crying out, "Don't, no, we don't want anything to do with you, Jesus. Depart from here. Why are you going to torment me?" But the Lord, in his love, he saw a man that was bound, and he gave deliverance to this man. And so this morning, I want us to think a little bit about this awesome story that we know so well. The story that the Lord came. And when this man met Jesus, his life changed completely. All of a sudden, the townspeople come out to see what had happened. Something amazing happened out here. They heard about all those swine running off into the water. But there was something more. This man was sitting, talking, clothed, and in his right mind. Now, what hope did this man have of that? You know what, folks? We get ourselves into an awful shape sometimes. And Satan is no friend to those that are a friend to him. And he binds. And he puts the chains on. And he begins to addict. And he begins to take under. And he begins to take dignity away. And all of those things. But folks, I want to tell you this morning, there is one that paid the price and took all the indignities that Satan and sin could give to him. And that one overcame death. And he overcame sin and the worst of it. And he died with sinners as if he was one, because he was paying the price so you and I could be free this morning. And I want to give to you the story that when the angel said to these women, "He is risen, he's not here." Folks, that is so significant to us, because that means Jesus overcame. He overcame. And now he gives to you and me eternal life. And shall we not have it? Shall we not have eternal life when the Lord paid this kind of price for it? When he went to the very depths, and then he gives to us his life. There's a song that says, "I am redeemed." I love the words to this song. I've heard it a number of times. It says, "I was a slave in a foreign land, so very far from the Father's loving hand. He rescued me one glorious day. He brought me out, paid a debt I could not pay." I just think about that man in the tombs. What did he have to pay? What did he have to give God for where he was at? The blood of Jesus, that's what he had. there was one that paid that price for him. And that's what he had. He had the price. He had the price, and it was in the Lord this morning. So I want to encourage us today, wherever we find ourselves, folks, there is a story of love in the Lord that he came to bring to you and me life. He came to bring to you and me a return of our dignity. He came to bring to you and me eternal life that we might forever live with the Lord. That's what the Lord came to bring. That's a story, I would say, of love, wouldn't you? And this man that we just read about heard right from his very lips and found that story of love. And right after that, there he was, clothed and in his right mind, speaking as a normal person speaks. Oh, we thank the Lord. I was a slave in a foreign land, so very far from the Father's loving hand. He rescued me one glorious day. He brought me out, paid a debt I could not pay. The chorus says, I am redeemed. I am redeemed. You know what redeemed means? It means I'm bought back. Somebody paid the ransom, and now I can go home. I'm redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free. That's a song, isn't it? That's a song with meaning. Verse 2 says, Still I live in a foreign land, but now I'm free according to redemption's plan. Excuse me. Soon I'll join the robed in white, the redeemed. We'll sing the song holy angels cannot sing. You know, they can sing praises to the Lord, but they weren't ever redeemed because they weren't ever in sin to start with. So we've got a song that we can sing that the angels cannot sing, and that is, I'm redeemed. And so the chorus goes again after verse 2. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Jesus loosed the chains of sin and set me free. 400 years before Christ, a prophet named Malachi was prophesying. The last prophet before Christ that we have in the Bible. And he said this. This is Malachi 4 and 2. And he prophesied that Christ was coming. And he said, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness, that's S-U-N, Son like the sun, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And that's not all. You shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. You know what? Calves of the stall, they're fed well. They're fat and flourishing. And he says, unto you that fear my name, folks, we get ourselves into a lot of things. But when we fear the name of the Lord and we humble ourselves before him, I want to tell you, he is a mighty deliverer today. And he will arise in our life as the sun arises in the day. The Son of Righteousness in our life. The Lord arising, coming up in our life and setting us free. And he will have healing. Malachi said he's going to have healing in his wings. He's going to have healing for us, for our emotional troubles, for all the things that sin threw at us. See, that's what Jesus overcame when he went to the cross. Sin threw so much at him. Everything it could throw, everything. Took his dignity. Took everything it could take in this life. And yet, within the power of himself, he came forth, didn't he? And he was risen. And he comes to bring us eternal life. We're all, most of us, so familiar with John 10 and 10, aren't we? The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Who is the thief? The one that steals from us all those precious things, our dignities, our life, the eternal life that we could have. The thief comes not. That's what he comes for, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Do you know this morning the Lord came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly? And I know we mentioned this word, I think, with another message a while back. It's used 10 times in the Bible. It means beyond measure. It means super abundant. It means exceedingly. That's what Jesus said when he said this. Now, in our King James Version, it says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, that's a good translation, isn't it? But it really doesn't capture the whole word that Jesus said. What he said was, I'm come that they might have life exceedingly. More exceedingly. That they might have life beyond measure. Folks, I know we live life and we face many things, but I want to tell you the Lord came to bring us something that satisfies the soul beyond what we can believe or think many times. I never knew that God was like he is. When I was 18 years old and I had lived my whole life trying to serve the Lord and yet failing, and yet I found him, and I found him to be more than I ever knew or really dreamed he could be. And folks, it'll change your life. I want to just encourage us today to seek the Lord until we find him. Find the Lord. He's looking for you this morning. There's something wonderful he wants to do in our life, and I have found it to be so. Brother Ulysses Phillips wrote a song. The number was, it's called From Death to Life, number 470 in our book. It says, from death to life, oh, what a thought. Within my soul, what change is wrought. By power divine, no tongue can tell. One thing I know, for me 'tis well. Now I want to ask you something. How can we really know it's well? Because folks, when we sing from death to life, we're talking about a major change. Death is where there is no life. There might be a body, but there's no life. But when there's life, it's very different. And so the song inspired says, from death to life. Oh, what a thought. Within my soul, what change is wrought. Do you know this morning, the Lord wants to bring life to our soul today. He wants to give us something that Satan only takes. That's why he's a taker. He's a thief. He kills. He destroys everything he can. But the Lord said, I came to bring life, and I came to bring it super abundantly. In our life, within my soul, what change is wrought by power divine, no tongue can tell. One thing I know, for me 'tis well. From darkness unto light sublime, through my Redeemer's matchless name. For this he left his home on high, that I should not forever die. Why should we forever die? When the Lord has given to us eternal life. I just want to ask every one of us that this morning. Why should I die forever when the Lord came to bring eternal life? From darkness into light sublime, through my Redeemer's matchless name. For this he left his home on high, that I should not forever die. Oh, praise the Lord for victory. From death to life he lifted me. By his great love and power divine, eternal life is truly mine. Number two, There Jesus paid it all, I see, to bring this wondrous life to me. Life from above, oh joy sublime, that such a treasure should be mine. Now in God's Son I have a part, eternal life within my heart, translated from the shades of night into the realm of glorious light. Three, a resurrection. We wrote that word on the board a while ago. You know what resurrection means? It means the opposite of everything humans know. Everything goes down, everything dies, but Jesus brings resurrection. He goes from death to life. He goes from sin to righteousness, doesn't he? He goes from eternal doom to eternal life. And the Lord does all those things and gives that to you and me. And freely, he didn't even ask us to do anything for him to die for us for that. Of course, we have to submit our lives to him. And that's where we miss it many times. Jesus paid it all, I see. A resurrection, I confess, has taken place within my breast. I've been awakened from the dead, and now I live with Christ instead. And when I lay this body down to mold and crumble in the ground, my ransomed soul shall fly away to one long, bright, eternal day. I don't know about you, but I like to think about that. Sometimes I just think about that. I think about what's it going to be like? What's it going to be like? And so we want to be careful every day through our life. Lord, I want to be where there is eternal day. I want to make it over there. I want to humble myself. I want to live for you. I want you to be in my life. I want you to work in my life. And you know he will, won't he? Verse 4 says, there light and life without an end into eternity shall blend. And I, the Lord of life, shall greet and worship at his blessed feet. What hope did this man in the tombs have to meet God? He was wicked. He was carnal. He was full of evil. And what hope did he have? Because there was one that paid the price for that hope. Because of his blood that was shed, because he rose again to bring us eternal life. And so, and I, the Lord of life, shall greet and worship at his blessed feet. Then may I clasp his nail-scarred hands, which broke for me death's awful bands. By his great power, how could it be, from death to life, he lifted me. How could it be? It just happened. And I know it happened. And I thank God for it today. And I want to encourage every one of us this morning. Folks, it's not how far we've gone. It's not how foolish we've been. It's not the leagues we've made with the enemy and the power of darkness. It's the power of Christ. It's his power this morning. That's what we look to. That's what we hope in. That's what we have faith and confidence, that he died with enough love in his heart to reach every lost soul forever. Isn't that wonderful this morning? It is to me. Folks, in John 11 and 21, we heard about this in Sunday school this morning. I enjoyed reading about Lazarus, and listen to this, John 11 and 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus. Now Mary and Martha had a brother, didn't they? And what was his name, children? Lazarus. And Lazarus died. And so Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, listen to these words. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, Though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do we believe that this morning? That those that believe into Christ shall never die. You know, we find in this story, verse 43 says, you know, Jesus went over to the tomb, and it says, when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Do you know this morning, we see the power that Christ had over death and hell and the grave. Christ has that power today. Do you know that many of the Jews, the scriptures tell us, believed on the Lord because of what they saw here? Do you know what the Lord wants to do today? He wants our heart to believe. He wants you and me to live a life that others can believe. You know, I don't understand them all the time. I don't know why they do some of the things they do. But I will tell you this, there's something new about their life. You know, the Lord wants that, doesn't he? And so the Lord bless us this morning that we can have that blessed promise that God gave to you and me. There's a promise, folks, to the Christian. This story of resurrection, of knowing that Christ rose from the dead, knowing that the power of sin was not able to seal him there. Mm-hmm. You know what that gives to you and I? Now we can believe, can't we? Now we can believe in one like that, can't we? We can know there is one that really does have that power. This one rose over death and hell and the grave. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 44, the scriptures tell us a little more about what is going to happen in our life. 1 Corinthians 15 and 44. It says, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Do you know this morning that when we come to our last day, we are going to be planted as a natural body, aren't we? But folks, there is a spiritual body. And there is an after this life, isn't there? Folks, the Lord has made it possible for us to have assurance in our heart. He's made it possible for us to have our dignity back. He's made it possible for us to truly be saved. And this morning, who will seek after the Lord? Who will believe the report that is given? Folks, it is for all of us today. Every one of us here to make heaven our home. Because there is one that paid that kind of price. If you look on down in verse 51, he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Folks, when I think about my last day, as long as I'm ready, I don't think it's going to be all that bad to go to heaven. Do you? I'd say that's where death is swallowed up in victory. Folks, we can have this if we will. You can have salvation if you will this morning. Oh, how the Lord, He's not only paid all of this price, but He's went back and He told us there in John, I believe it was, He said that He was going back to prepare a place for us. And He said, and where He was, there was many mansions. You know, He's going back to prepare for us more than our little finite minds can comprehend this morning. And so the scripture goes on to say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I want to tell you, every one of us is going this way this morning. But because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we ourselves can actually look forward to that day. And many times I do stop, try to think what it's going to be like. What's it going to be like when I cross that threshold into that new land where the Lord is? And so in verse 57 and 58 it says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so this morning, I want to kind of leave us with that. Maybe I'll mention another scripture or two. You know, the scripture talks about whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And he goes on to say, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. That's free, truly free, truly free. The Lord wants to make us truly free. And I want to encourage each one of us today, folks, there is a child that was born. And unto us a son is given. And he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, Isaiah prophesied of that in that scripture that I just quoted many hundreds of years before Christ. But you know what? We're looking back. It has happened. And now it is for us. Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace in our heart and in our life, the Prince of Peace living there. This is what the Lord came to bring to us. And when the angel said He is risen, I want to tell you, He was speaking to all the world from then on. Death has been conquered. The fear of death has been conquered. Eternal death has been conquered and eternal life has been brought to light. Sin has been conquered and the Lord came to bring to you and me all those good things that restore a man to where he can sit and talk reasonably again in his right mind with dignity about him, even clothed, even with dignity, even with strength and honor. Folks, it's only through the Lord. But look what we have available to us today. Who will believe the report and take up their cross and follow that one through the thick and the thin, through the good and the bad, believing in His name. You pray for me.